welcome back to our latest edition of West Coast XE. I'm Ken Martinez, your host. And if you're watching on YouTube, if you could please press the subscribe button, that would be great. Or if you're listening on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts, please follow. In this week's episode, I talked to Coach Eric Detman. He's the head track and cross-country coach at Lincoln High School in downtown Portland. He's hosting a brand new invitational called the Cardinal Varsity Invitational. And he talks about some of the top competition they're going to be having this weekend, and also about the 4x800, which the state of Oregon does not have in the state meet. He's hoping through his invitational to promote the idea of having a 4x800. It should be a competitive fun race. And then I indulge him in a little bit because he went to York High School, the famous York High School, with Coach Joe Newton in Illinois. And I wanted to ask him questions on what it was like to be coached by Coach Newton. So please stick around and listen to that or watch that. The previous Friday, I went to the Jesuit High School in Portland, Oregon, to watch the Nike Jesuit Twilight Relays. It's an amazing meet with amazing action. And so, first of all, in the elite mile, Ellery Lincoln of Lincoln was the winner of the mile at 4:39.37, the number one time in the U.S. outdoors this season. She won this event last year as a freshman, has had kind of a challenging sophomore year, so it was great to see her, you know, run well and back in her regular form that she's been running in the past. In the elite mile, the hope was could a high school athlete break 4 minutes, and Josiah Tostenson of Crater had already done it indoors and was hoping to do it outdoors. It was a little breezy. It was, you know, a little bit windy as the sun was setting, so he didn't quite make it. He ran 4:06.09. That's pretty good, though. He had to do the last two laps, you know, on his own. And it was still an amazing time. It's the second fastest time ever run by a high school athlete in the state of Oregon. And it's second fastest time in the U.S. outdoors, too. So it's still an outstanding time. We had Maddie Carney of Caldera. She won the 3200 in a time of 10:36.37. And in the 3200 boys race, the kind of the Crater duo, this is Tavon Kitchen of Crater, ran the National Federation High School 3200 meter record of 8:33.82. It's a record that's set in a high school race. And he also, just like his teammate Josiah Tostenson, ran the last half solo, which is even, I think, harder in a 3200. That's more laps. And then there were relay races afterwards. The 4x800 was Camas Girls won in 9:30.43. They won it last year, repeat champions. Caldera Boys won the 4x800 in 7:58.39. They won it last year, repeat winner. Summit Girls won the distance medley in 12:30.94. Summit and Caldera are both in the great city of Bend, Oregon. Great running community. The distance medley relay boys race was won by South Eugene at 10:20.27. They're repeat winners. And of course, South Eugene, at least we know in the state of Oregon, has an amazing tradition of distance running for the last 40 years. And so all these great teams, all these great athletes ran on Friday. And we look forward to the next meet here in Portland, Oregon. And that's at the Cardinal Varsity Invitational, which I'm going to talk to our friend Coach Eric Detman in a second. Well, we're happy to have Coach Eric Detman from Lincoln High School in Portland, Oregon, the head cross country and track coach. And now Coach Detman, the meet director of the Cardinal Varsity Invitational. Welcome to our podcast and our episode this week.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
And you are putting on a brand new invitational. What was the motivation for the Cardinal Varsity Invitational?
Yeah, couple things. One, the big thing, honestly, was we have this beautiful new facility, and I felt like it would be maybe a disservice to not try to have a cool event there and promote track and field at Lincoln High School, but promote track and field in the state of Oregon as well. So taking advantage of having this beautiful backdrop, you've got the city right there. When the sun starts setting, it's pretty magical. And seeing how successful the Portland Track Festival was last year at Lincoln kind of got the wheels spinning that like we could host something really cool here. And that was a big motivator for us.
For those people watching or listening, Lincoln High School is one of the oldest high schools west of the Mississippi. I think it's the second oldest high school. But like 3 years ago, 2 years ago, Lincoln had a reboot. They had their school turned around where the track is now facing downtown Portland.
Total rebuild. Small footprint within the city. So where the track used to be, they rebuilt the school. Then when that was done, where the old school was, they knocked that down and put a new track and field there for us. So really needed. I've been at Lincoln for this is my 12th year, and having been in that building, it was needed as a rebuild, but we're so blessed and thrilled for how awesome it looks now.
I think I was there for the Wildwood Mile last year. I think it was the first time I'd been on the track. I
Yep,
was
that was
so
our first
turned
event.
around because the school, where is all the schools behind me, and there's downtown. What a great setting. It was amazing.
I love when alums come back. We've had that over the last couple of years. And like, this is where my science classroom was, and they're standing at like the top of the curve. It always makes me laugh. But yeah, beautiful venue, beautiful, beautiful place to be.
Beautiful, beautiful location, beautiful venue. And this event has the 4x800. And can you tell us also the motivation? Instead of just having an open 800, you're going to have a 4x800 in the middle of the meet. And you're trying to promote the idea of, hey, let's put a 4x8 in the Oregon state meet, which Oregon doesn't have that.
For those who are listening, I grew up just outside the city of Chicago. The 4x8 is the starter for meets in Illinois. The state meet, the first event, 4x8, just gets the juices flowing. And I still remember, warming up, running around the campus of Eastern Illinois and hearing people chanting names for the 4x8s, and just feeling that energy when I was warming up as an athlete. And then getting onto the track for my event, which was shortly after that, like you could still feel that energy. It was such a kickstart to the meet. So that's my hope. That's my goal, is to show people how exciting that event is. I've talked with various OS2A people about trying to get the 4x8. Into the Oregon State Meet, and I know that there's logistical hurdles and things to jump through, but my hope is to create some excitement around that and show how special that event can be, and really try to make it a focal point of the meet. I think that there's meets across the season in the state of Oregon where there is a 4x8 offered, but I don't know that it's ever a focal point, right? Like, you look at Oregon Relays, amazing, right? But it's the same day this year as the DMR, so you're not going to have your heavy hitters run the 4x8. Historically, it's the same day as the mile or the 800, so you're not gonna have your heavy hitters run it. Twilight Relays at Jesuit last week, amazing event. That 4x8 comes shortly after the elite mile, so you're not gonna have your heavy hitter come back and run that fresh. So we've really tried to promote that as a let's put our best kids in it and see what happens. And honestly, it's been really cool to look at the entries and see that teams are doing that. Like, we have some really cool matchups that are happening. So just trying to show people how exciting that event can be and how much energy it can bring to a meet, I think, is a big goal.
So the Oregon State Meet is a 2 day event. You got the 3000 and the 800 prelims on Friday, and then on Saturday you have the finals of the 8 and the 1500 in Oregon. So where would you think would be a good place to place the 4x8?
I think if it were up to me, I would go first. And I know that that potentially prevents some of your 1500 kids from running the 4x8 first on Saturday. But I think that because I think it needs to be on finals day. Like, I think it's an event that causes a lot of excitement because there's a lot of stuff that happens, right? It's short enough that people don't get bored, but it's long enough that there's strategy and there's thought and there's all these things that go into it. And kids are running fast, right? Like, you get a good 4x8. I remember my senior year of high school, I didn't run in it because I was running the 2 mile. But I think 8th place was 7:44, 7:45 at our state meet. And it just created this aura of excitement. And not to say that Oregon's going to run that fast, but I do think it creates some excitement. So I think if you put it first, some of those 1500 kids maybe don't necessarily run the 4x8, just like some of those 2 mile kids in Illinois don't run the 4x8. But you can still get some really awesome performances. If I look at our squad this year on the girls' side, like, I could envision someone like Ellery and Soph running a 4x8 and maybe not running the 1500, if that made made sense from a team standpoint. So I don't know if that's the exact right solution, but I think if I was writing it out and trying to figure it out, that would make the most sense to me.
And that's what Illinois does. It does it before the four by one and everything, right?
Yeah, it's the first event to kick off the meet.
So I've been going to the California state meets the last couple of years, and 2 years ago was the first time they had the four by eight. And there's a feeling in California like we're so late to the game, but I don't think maybe there's half the state. Do you know how many states have the four by eight?
I think it's 47.
Oh my gosh, everybody does. Okay.
Yeah,
So
I'm pretty sure it's,
California was saying, hey, we're see, I'm so centered in Oregon, and then I hop over to California. I'm like, that's the center of my world. And they were like saying, oh, wow, we're finally getting with the program. I'm thinking, get with the program? Is it everybody? So it's a lot of states.
It's a lot of
Okay.
states. Yeah.
Oh my
It's
gosh.
just, I think it's a fun event. And I also think, I'm gonna say this wholeheartedly understanding it. I am a head track and field coach who is also the head cross country coach. And I work primarily with the distance kids. But you find three or four sprinters and you can have a great 4x1, 4x4, 1x2, long jump, triple jump, hurdles, right? Like state meets are catered towards sprinters. And I think it would be really awesome to have one more event where some of the distance kids could come and score a bunch of points. I look at our girls last year getting second at the state meet. I think we scored 40, 46 points with our distance runners, and then our hurdler had a really good day and scored a couple of points in the hurdles. But outside of that, like that was our only scoring opportunities. And we're limited because we can only run two events as distance runners at the state meet. So it'd be nice to have another opportunity for distance kids to score and contribute to that state meet experience.
It also rewards some of these outstanding programs that are deep, because some of those kids just can't, only allowed maybe two people per, in Oregon, you're allowed two per conference. There's wild cards and such, but.
But it's tough. I was talking to my high school coach on the phone last week about qualification standards. And I think, and again, I reference Illinois a lot because I grew up there, but their 2 mile auto qualifying mark's like 9:17. And ours is 8:26 for 3K, so about 9 flat for 2 miles. So it's tough. Yeah. So if there was another opportunity for those kids, I think that'd be awesome, especially for some of those deeper programs. But even non-deep programs, like you don't have to have four elite kids to run a really good 4x8, right? You get four kids to run 2 minutes, which is very good, not super elite. 8 minutes as a time is pretty elite. So it's giving opportunity.
That's true. You could have like a just a solid program, maybe not the elite kids that can make the state meet. You might be the fifth fastest runner in the conference. You might get two or three kids in the 800 final, but not make it the state meet. That's going to be a pretty good team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, in California, they started 2 years ago, and they have because they have just one big day, so they do it right before the 3200, which just makes sense because maybe 3200 meter runners aren't going to run the 800. So, and you get a chance to see some of the stars that ran earlier in the day. Come back for the 4x8, gets their secondary. It's like they've done their event and it's super fun. Last year, Sadie Englehart had a handoff that she didn't quite grab very well, and she picked it up and then she dropped it. It was very dramatic. Of course, she can run like a 203 800, and it was really amazing to watch her catch everybody. It was super, super exciting, really fun. I didn't realize almost every state does this. Wow. Okay, we got to get this going. Well, hopefully this will help.
That's my goal. And I've been pretty vocal about that with people, so
Okay. So it's I think entries are still coming in. So you probably can't tell me, but can you get what who's coming on Friday night? But is there can you give me some sense of what you expect this?
Team wise, it's interesting. When I went through when I started, when I was going through this idea of, I want to put this meet on, there is a handful of teams in my mind. I'm like, I want to make sure these teams are there just because it's kind of the who's who of Oregon last, kind of last week of invitational season. I know this year is a little different because it's a little bit longer, but really trying to give an opportunity to a lot of kids when we are near peak fitness to get after it. So it seems like Jesuit and Tualatin and Central Catholic and a handful of others that are really high level. So when I look at when I look at some of the entries, I'm seeing things in the 100 where we've got two kids who have run under 10:07 and five kids who have run under 10:92. Like it's going to be pretty fast. If I go to the 3K, again, it's similar. We're looking at a bunch of kids who have run fast, you know, eight kids who have broken 9 minutes with a handful of others who have broken 8:50. And that's across the board. You know, I think on the girls' side, the 4x8 looks really exciting. Sherwood's going to load it. We're going to load it. St. Mary's is going to load it. And that's a bunch of teams with, you know, four girls who have run 2:27 or faster. So I think, and then, you know, field events too, I think is going to be really awesome. So across the board, it should be really high level competition all night, which we're excited about.
I'm looking forward to the meet. I love your venue. It's so beautiful. It's fantastic. I love getting way in the corner there where the school is and try to see if I can get the downtown skyline where the kids coming along the back stretch. It's just a
Totally.
wonderful facility. So great.
Yeah,
I got
we're
so
excited.
confused. I know what this, I thought it was an apartment complex. It's your school. It's like six stories. Is it like six stories high or something?
It is 6 stories. Yeah. So they, because we're such a small, you know, tight footprint in the city, we couldn't go out. So our only option was to go up. So that's what we did. So it is ironic hearing the amount of distance athletes complain about walking up, you know, the flight of stairs. I'm like, you guys run in Forest Park often. Like, what is 6 flights of stairs to you? But I hear it.
Okay, well, you've been talking a lot about Illinois. I'm a cross country nut. I just love cross country, and I've been around the sport for a long time. If I was to do a Mount Rushmore of the greatest, you know, Mount Rushmore has four presidents on it. If I was to put a Mount Rushmore of coaches, Joe Newton would 100% be there. Then you could argue about the next three. I mean, anybody can kind of, but no, I think everybody could agree that Coach Joe Newton of York High School, your high school coach, would be on that Mount Rushmore. And I want to ask you, your brother Matt also ran for Coach Newton. What was it like to be coached by Coach Newton? And have you like taken some of his philosophies and outlook and shared it with, and also use it in your own coaching style?
Yeah, it was it's hard to put into words how much that person means to me. Mr. Newton and Mr. Kern as well, who I still lean on and talk to a lot, who was the assistant at the time, were just, you know, just incredibly wonderful people. Mr. Newton's ability to motivate is unlike anything I've ever seen in any role I've ever had in my life, whether it's school, coaching, job, and understanding each individual kid. You know, he might talk to my brother and I in a certain way that tended to be a little bit more aggressive, like, you know, maybe using some language that wouldn't necessarily be usable in today's day and age. But then, you know, the number three kid who needed something a little bit different, he you know, found a way to connect with that kid. Like, people talk a lot about the workouts and running a lot, and there were certainly a lot of that, but it was his belief in us that contributed to our belief in ourselves, which helped us to run as well as we did. But it was so much more than running. You know, like I think about who I am as a person, and I wouldn't be that if I didn't go to York, if I didn't have the opportunity to run for Mr. Newton. You know, he had a quote that he used to say all the time, "It's nice to be great, but far greater to be nice." And that's like something I've tried to live my entire life. And, you know, certainly like anybody, there's slip ups and mistakes, but that's, you know, I can't think of a better quote to live your life by. Right? Because like you can be the best, but if you're the best at the top of the mountain with nobody cheering for you, is it really worth it? Versus like just living a life where you're giving yourself up for others and trying to, you know, make everybody around you better and just be nice, be a really nice, genuine human being. I love that quote. So I try to live my life by that. But there's so much more about who he was, what he offered, what he did that I'll forever be thankful. It's hard to put into words, but he, you know, I it's this is getting off on a tangent, but I said something at practice one time, and one of my assistants, I feel myself getting emotional saying this about him. One of my assistants said, "Oh my gosh, that was like I saw Mr. Newton talking in front of me." And that was like the greatest sorry.
Compliment.
Yes, the greatest compliment I've ever received.
Yes, please.
Because it just like he means so much to me. Yeah, he was such a wonderful human.
And you've been coaching there for 12 years, so you have your own style. Maybe you had his style the first year or two because you're new or something. But are there things in the back of your head that he's always in the back of your head when you're coaching the kids?
Absolutely. You know, I think like the one of the biggest things that I've tried to take from him, and it's not necessarily something he said, but I think it's something he lived by and something he would say, is so many times I see people in positions of teaching, coaching, leading, whatever, kids, and the general consensus is oh my gosh, kids have changed so much since XYZ. And I don't actually believe that that's true, right? Like the genetic makeup of a child in 1990 is exactly the same in 2025. But the way that we've treated them has certainly changed. And the way that we've allowed certain things to happen has certainly changed, which I think has resulted in this idea of kids changing, right? I believe that kids want structure. They want constructive criticism. They want feedback. They want all these things. And he was so good at that and holding people accountable. That's, you know, one of the probably the big things that I've taken from him is like, is maybe not in the same way that he would have done it, but I really try to hold kids accountable and I really try to push them. And it's our job and our responsibility as coaches to push them and encourage them to do things that are scary and to encourage them to do things that they don't want to do. Because you never find out what you want to do if you never try anything. And it's really our responsibility to do that. And I think he really taught me that. And that's a big piece that I take into what I do today.
Well, I coached for a long time, and we would have team dinners, or have a, I don't know, some like a team camp or some event where hey, let's show a movie, and you show Chariots of Fire, great movie, won Academy Awards, but they don't look like runners. I mean, they're not athletes at all. And I would show it to my kids, and they're like, "What is going on here? These guys are not athletes," and so, but a documentary is true. These are athletes. And so for me, showing the long green line to my athletes was a great evening event, because it was real. It was real. And you and your brother and your teammates were in that documentary. What was it like to be filmed that year? That's got to be a strange experience, or did you just get used to it?
It was strange. It's funny. I still to this day talk to the filmmakers a little bit. They could not have asked for a better year, right?
Yes, it
When
was
you
very exciting.
like you would think that they like wrote out a script for everything that happened. But it just yeah, so for those who've not seen the documentary, the Long Green Line was supposed to follow Mr. Newton during my senior year because we were trying to win our 25th York's 25th state championship in his 50th year of coaching. Over the course of the year, a kid got kicked off the team who was top seven for drinking. And then he and some other individuals burned a house down, blew up a school bus, and they got kicked off the team and arrested and all these different things. So it's crazy.
Right.
So yes, they could not have asked for a better script. What was it like being filmed? It was interesting, right? Like having cameras in your face, which is funny because that's like the world we live in now. Like every kid, you finish a race and there's just like cameras in your face the whole time. But that was new. But they were really awesome about respecting our privacy and respecting us when we're like, hey, that's too much. Like there'd be certain times, like they went to homecoming with us and like, we're dancing with our friends and whatever. And we're like, hey guys, you got to get out of here. This is just uncomfortable. Like we don't want this. And then they didn't use any of that footage. There was like certain things that happened over the course of the season where we're like, we don't want this to be in the movie. Like this is a team thing. This is a York thing. Like we don't want this to necessarily be seen by everybody. And they were really respectful of that. So it was cool. And they were York guys. Like one of them ran for Mr. Newton, so we got the gist of the program. But yeah, as an 18-year-old, it's like a combination of feeling like a rock star and also like this is super weird.
Yeah. And you're part of the drama too, because didn't you and your brother get sick during the critical time of the season?
I mean, it was tough not to get like super duper into it, but our best friend at the time was the one who was a part of some of those things. And people thought that Matt and I were a part of it. And at that point, Diestat message boards was had become more popular
Right.
and people felt the need to speak on those. And we were sick, but a lot of it was stress related. Like the Wednesday before Foot Locker Midwest, I went to the hospital because I had a panic attack because I was just like overwhelmed with so much that was going on. And it was a lot. So, but
Wow.
yeah, good movie making.
Okay. Well, you said you've been coaching for a long time. I've coached with you, and we've seen the movie. I just prefer, I mean, there are really, I mean, the Prefontaine movie and the McFarlane movie, those are really good movies. I'm not, we watch them and we enjoy them. There's some parts you just kind of roll your eyes going, oh, that would never happen. But so we
Danny
liked your
Diaz.
movie. Yeah. We liked your movie because it's like real. And so I would point to the kids. Remember the long green line? They go, yeah, there he is. They go, whoa. And
That's
your brother
right.
would be around too sometimes. He'd be at the meet too. Like, this is
He's my
brother.
middle school coach.
Okay. Yeah. He'd be at the meet too. I'm like, they'd be starstruck.
Yeah,
Nerd and
that's funny.
Starstruck. It was pretty fun. Do your kids have your kids watch it? Your current athletes?
Yes, I don't ever choose to watch it. Personally, I don't because it actually brings up some like tough emotions. Just like watching, I think back to my senior year and like what it could have been, and that like kind of changed the trajectory of my running. Like even when I got into college, like I know that there's this perception like your kids burn out. I just like didn't really enjoy running anymore because it like reminded me of all this stuff that happened my senior year, and it was just tough. So our old head coach Suzanne Perry, who you know, she used to put it on anytime we would do like team events, and you know I was fine, like we'll watch it, cool. But I don't necessarily choose to watch it. But yeah, my kids come up all the time, like, oh, we watched the Long Green Line last night, which in some ways is like weird. Like, oh, as a family, you guys sat down and decided to watch this movie on a Tuesday night.
With you in it.
Yes. But it is cool. And like there's like pieces they'll ask me about. Like I remember the first time I watched it with Marie, you know, she had a ton of questions. And there was like certain things I was like, oh yeah, this is why this is like this and this is like that. So it's interesting to talk about, but yeah, if my kids watch it, it's more they choose to versus like we do it as a
Okay.
team.
Yeah, I would imagine you would do it, but I'm sure they would like figure you out, which is kind of cool.
I think it like I don't know that this happens, but I think it passes down where like the upperclassmen tell the underclassmen, like, oh, hey, just you know, there's this movie, you should watch this at some point. And then yeah, and then you know, the freshman will come to me the next day and be like, hey, I watched the Long Green Line last night. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, our coach has an IDMB. Is that right?
Yeah, right.
Or IMDB, sorry, IMDB,
Yeah.
movie database. Actually Googled that a couple of days ago. Like, oh, yep, you're on there. There you are.
Yeah, that's
Well,
funny.
it is funny. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and I'm super looking forward to this new meet on Friday night. I think the weather's going to be great too, so it's always
Looks
nice.
perfect. Yeah,
Yeah,
looks
it's going to be
perfect.
great. And with the setting of downtown Portland and your beautiful new track, it's going to be a fun event. And I really appreciate you coming on, and good luck setting up for your meet.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We want to thank Coach Eric Detman of Lincoln for coming on and telling us about his new invitational, which is the Cardinal Varsity Invitational, which will be on Friday at Lincoln High School in downtown Portland. I'll be there to take pictures and look forward to the action there. Then on Saturday, I'm going to wake up and head over to the Seattle area at the South Sound Invitational, which is we're in Puyallup, Washington, the home of the Washington State Fair, and take some pictures of some of the fine Washington athletes. I need to get up to Washington, some part of the West Coast. I'm looking forward to doing that on Saturday. So look for photo galleries of both meets this weekend. And until next time, remember that West Coast is the best coast.